Venerable religious and dear parishioners, as I reflect upon this feast of Christ the King, what usually comes to my mind is the inspiration of how the Catholics in Mexico a century ago, or less than a century ago, dealt with the terrible persecution that broke out. And how ironic that in this predominantly Catholic country, the government would be heavily under the influence of Freemasonic and communist elements and provoked, indeed, a wide-scale persecution. Many Catholics going to their death, martyrs for the faith. And what so many of them said as they're being led to their martyrdom was, Viva Cristo Rey. Those were the last words of, among many others, Father Miguel Pro, as he is being executed by the firing squad. He puts his arms out in the form of a cross and shouts out, Long live Christ the King. And indeed, every martyr for the faith through all the centuries died for Christ the King. Every one of them made a choice. They were told, either you give up Christ, you deny Christ, you deny one of Christ's teachings, you give this incense to the gods, or we will torture you. We will put you to death. And they made the choice which every one of us would have to make if we are to save our souls, to be willing to suffer and die for our Lord. And so how will we be able to ever say in that moment of the choice, how are we going to say Viva Cristo Rey? Well, the only way to do that is throughout our lives to say Viva Cristo Rey. Long live Christ the King. In other words, to die for Christ, you have to live for Christ. If you don't live for Christ, you will not die for him. So you see, our Catholic faith is that daily living of love for our Lord. There's a lot of false ideas of loving God out there. Many a hymn will say, Jesus loves me, and it's true. People will even say, I love Jesus. But do they really mean it? Do they really live it in their daily lives? And how do we know that we are loving Jesus? Our Lord gave us the answer when he told his apostles at the Last Supper, if you love me, keep my commandments. That will always be the test and the proof of love. And if we are allowing sin unchecked in our lives, we are certainly not loving Jesus. We have to overcome it. And it would be the weakest form of love to say, well, I won't offend Jesus in a mortally sinful way, but I don't mind the venial sins I commit. That's no way to holiness at all. That's no way to live our baptism. We are called to holiness. We are called to love, and we are called to ever greater love, ever to growth in greater love for our Lord. Again, let those words burn themselves into us. If you love me, keep my commandments. That will always show us how much we are loving God in our daily lives. You know, our Lord also taught his apostles, he who acknowledges me before men, him will I acknowledge before my Father. He who denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father. Why does our Lord say that? Why can he say that? Because he is God, and he demands our all. He even says, if a man does not hate his father and mother, brother and sister, family, friends, he is not worthy of me. Now, when we study that passage in Scripture, and it occurs more than once, obviously our Lord is not talking about committing the sin of hatred against people we should love. But what he is saying is that if we would ever have to make the choice between him and a creature, no matter how close this creature is to us or we love this creature, we have to choose him. And it only makes sense. God, the creator, always has to come before the creature if there is a true conflict going on there. But in our modern world, there is such a sense of relativism and let's just get along with everybody. What ends up happening is over and over, the creature is chosen instead of the creator. The faith is denied or morals are denied. Why? Because people are more concerned about pleasing one another than they are about pleasing God. More concerned about just getting along with everybody than standing up for what's right and true. Just a sad example of this. Recently, last past week, I think, the youngest member of the royal family in England was christened in the Anglican religion. Prince George, I think, is little baby's name. And in an interview following that, the so-called Archbishop of Canterbury was asked, well, what if he decides to become a Buddhist later on? And the answer was, that's perfectly fine. Now, Anglicanism is not even the true church. But what he's saying is, it's fine if he apostatizes. He was, baptism is incorporation in Christ. But it's okay to renounce him. He who denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father. Just goes to show how sadly that religion is in shambles, that a statement like that is made and accepted. But again, they don't even have the true faith to begin with. They need to reconcile with the true Catholic Church. And yes, this is also about the kingship of Christ. My dear brethren, when we stand up for the traditional Catholic faith, we are required to do so. When you love Christ, you cannot compromise with the world. You cannot say all the other man-made religions are fine. That is the sin of false ecumenism. And it was made a key point of Vatican II. You see, that is a repudiation of Christ if we were to have a worship service in common with other religions or any other religion. Because what we would be telling our Lord is, Jesus, your religion is just as good as these others. Do you see the repudiation of Christ? That is the sin of false ecumenism, the sin of worship together with other religions. Whatever it costs us, we have to do the right thing. And my dear brethren, it will always be the loving thing. When the martyrs were taken off to their to their execution. They were showing the greatest love for God and man. For the ones that kept telling them, just get along, compromise, you'll save your life. Sad to say, even St. Thomas More's wife said words along that line to him. Just, Thomas, just sign the oath of supremacy. Or maybe it was his daughter, I forget. But there was pressure from family. Compromise, get along. And I forget the exact answer he gave, but he says, and how long would that of a life could I expect after that? Well, she said, 20 or 30 years of being in the king's favor? And then he said, and what is that in comparison to eternity? The family had nothing else to say. So, my dear brethren, on this feast of Christ the King, we are reminded that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is God. Yes, he's become so close to us that as the hymn the sister sang at the beginning of Mass tells us, he's also our brother in the sense that he shared his mother with us. And that shows his infinite love for us, that he is willing to go to that extent to love us. But we must remember he is God, and we bow the knee in profoundest adoration before him. He is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. He will come to judge the living and the dead. Every one of us will stand before him twice to be judged. The day of our death, the place of our death, wherever that will be, he will judge us right there in the particular judgment. And then after the world has come to an end, the general resurrection takes place, the general judgment will take place. Every human being that has ever lived will be called again before Jesus Christ the King. And each person will be examined whether he put Christ first in his or her life. Did he or she live for Christ? And if they were faithful and living, they were able to die for him. And our prayer is needless to say, Jesus, help me to be faithful so that when I stand before thee in my judgment, I will have been found faithful. And may my life always echo now and in eternity. Viva Christo Rey. Long live Christ the King. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.